What is the church? Somebody says, well, you've got a beautiful church, Brother Lambert. And I know they're talking about the building in which we assemble to worship God. But you see, the church is not a building. I've often said there's not a sacred block, a sacred board, a sacred nail in a church building. There isn't anything sacred about the building. It is merely a means to an end. It is to give us a place to gather together, to assemble together, to worship God. But you see, the church is made up of people. And it is the Lord who is building people today and adding people to the church He built. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So the church that Christ promised to build is built of the right material. It is built of the such as should be saved. Now earlier in that same chapter, Peter was asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, here people are asking what to do in order to be saved. His answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there were some 3,000 that day that were baptized, according to verse 41. And in verse 47, the Lord added those that were saved to the church. So He came to build the church, built on the right foundation, built in the right place, that is, in the city of Jerusalem, and built out of the right material, that is, those that were saved. But He is also now building a home in heaven. He promised that in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So He's gone to build a place for us. You know, it would be a sad thing indeed for any individual to leave this world without having the hope of heaven in his or her heart. Do you have the hope of heaven in your heart today? I want you to know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is building a mansion for those who want one. Now let me repeat that. Jesus is building a mansion for those who want one. Now, I suppose that if you were to survey all of the people in the United States of America and say, do you believe there's a heaven, there would be a large majority of people who would say yes. Even if they are not religiously inclined, they say, yes, I remember my mother used to talk to me about that, or my daddy used to talk to me about that, or I had a preacher that I used to listen to when I was small. Yes, sir, really, I do believe in it, but the question is, are you ready for it? And is the Lord preparing a mansion for you? You see, He only prepares a mansion for those that are willing to make the necessary preparation to go there. Now, Paul wanted it. He wanted that mansion. In Philippians 1:21, he said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul wanted that mansion. Abraham wanted it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. So Jesus, the carpenter, was born in a carpenter's home, and He came to do the work of a carpenter. He came to build. He came to build. But He uses the methods of a carpenter. My carpenter can see potential in a piece of wood. My dad, who is now deceased, was a carpenter. Oh, he had done other work for all of his life, but the thing that was really his hobby was taking a piece of wood and fashioning it into something that would be very nice and usable. We have pieces of furniture in our home that my dad made, and we still cherish those items. He could see potential in a piece of wood. All I would see in it is just a piece of wood. Some of it wasn't very pretty. Some of it wasn't very nice looking. But when Dad got through with it, it was something quite to see. And so a carpenter can see potential in a piece of wood. Why, in a piece of wood, he may see something you could put in your home. He might see a table. He might see a chair. Well, I remember Dad going by someone's trash can one day, and he saw out by that trash can what they used to call an old washstand. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. And it was quite old, and whoever had it just put it out there by the trash to be picked up by the garbage people. But Dad stopped, and he put it in the back of his little white truck, and he took it home. He took it down into his shop. He took it apart, and he began to work on it and put it all back together. And, you know, Dad finally sold that piece of trash somebody left at the side of the road for about $125 or $150. He saw potential in something that nobody else could see. Jesus saw potential in people. We might just see a despised tax collector. But Jesus saw Matthew, a writer of one of the Gospels. We might just see a persecutor, someone that was injurious to the church, someone that was a blasphemer. But Jesus saw the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. We might just see a harlot, a woman that lives a rather colorful life. But Jesus saw Mary, who loved him. You see, a carpenter sees potential in a piece of wood. And Jesus, the carpenter, could see potential in people. Who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church of God and wasted it, would become a man who would help to evangelize the then known world? And sometimes we may write people off today because we just don't see the potential in them. Jesus could. And a carpenter can fashion a piece of wood into the right proportion, has to use the right tools, and so forth. And Jesus Christ, the carpenter, is shaping our lives into something that is quite beautiful. Jesus Christ, the carpenter. But Jesus died a carpenter's death. He died on a cross. In John the 19th chapter and verse 36, we're told that there was not a bone of his body broken while he was hanging on that cross. That's found in John 19:36, and there's a prophecy about it also in Psalms the 34th chapter and in verse number 20. Jesus was not shot. He was not stoned. He was crucified. And Jesus Christ was nailed to the old rugged cross. Why, first he was in the court of Pilate, and there Jesus was scourged, and then Jesus, with a bloody back, was made to put that piece of wood upon his back and carry it all the way to Execution Hill. But he fell underneath the weight of the cross, and there was a man by the name of Simon that was made to carry the cross to Calvary. But Jesus carried that cross upon his back in hands that once worked with wood and helped his father in that carpenter shop, hands that no doubt were callous from the time working in that carpenter shop and working with that wood. Those hands, the hands of the carpenter, are now nailed to wood. They are nailed to the cross. And then there are the feet of Jesus, feet that walked everywhere he had to go, and feet that carried him on the different responsibilities he's had as the carpenter's son. Those feet are now nailed to a piece of wood. You see, Jesus Christ, the carpenter, was nailed to the cross. and the greatest piece of building that Jesus ever did was building a bridge from earth to heaven. Why, when Jesus went to that cross of Calvary, the beams of the cross, as it were, was stretching all the way from earth all the way to heaven. And the only way that we will ever bridge the gap between God and man is on that bridge that Jesus built called the cross. It is through His death that we can be made one with God again. We can be reconciled unto Him. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. Yes, that's the greatest piece of work that Jesus ever did. It was because of the carpenter dying upon a wooden cross that you and I can have forgiveness of sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, there are lots of things in which Paul could have gloried. But Paul said, I'm not going to glory in anything but that old rugged cross upon which the Lord of glory died. Yes, Jesus Christ is the carpenter. But what is the carpenter's desire? The carpenter's desire is to build us into something that he can give to God one day, that he can present to God. In Ephesians 5, Paul is talking about Christ and the church, and he talks about Christ loving the church and then sanctifying the church. That's in verses 25 and 26 of Ephesians 5. And then he says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so the church one day is going to be presented to God. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says that then cometh the end when he shall give up the kingdom to God. And there's a day that we will be presented to God. And it will be a glorious, glorious day for a glorious, glorious group of people. Jesus Christ, the carpenter. And he wants you and me to prepare ourselves for that great event. And he can do with our lives right now what we will allow him to do. Jesus can build you into something beautiful. A carpenter can take something that is unlovely. For example, haven't you seen people buy an old home? And you say, I don't know why in the world they would want that old home. But they get in there and they begin to work in that old home. They see potential in it. And they renovate it. And they make it into something that is quite lovely. And even they increase the value of it by what they've done. And Jesus can take a life that's been marred by sin, and he can clean it up through his death, through his blood. And Jesus Christ can make something lovely of it. He can do that for you if you just give your life to him. You must believe in him. John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You must repent of your sins. For he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. We must be willing to confess him before men, as did the man in Acts chapter 8. Who said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon the confession of your faith in Christ, you can be immersed into Christ, as was he, for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. Would you do that? The carpenter wants to build you for eternity. Now, in the closing moments, may I urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not sure where the church is located, why don't you call us? We'll get you that needed information. And may I also urge you now to pick up the telephone right now and call the number you see on the screen and call for that free Bible correspondence course. Join thousands of others all over the world who are studying the Bible in this way. And I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.